part two of our interview with the legendary George Lois. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
So you talk about words. That was your life. How important are words? And that's a silly question to some degree. So if you have a message that has a tagline, you know, one word for another word, you know, how
can talking about words is, I mean, I am by far, first of all, I've done more work than any architect that I've lived. You know, I mean, don't look at me. I mean, I am by far the art director who's most involved in writing and creating words and working with words in synergy with visuals. I mean, I'm a word-driven.
You were the art guy.
And I tell kids and I tell everybody, anybody who's obviously in the advertising business or in communicating, that the words come first. When you sit, when you have any kind of a problem, certainly not in advertising, I tell kids just think words. They say, "What? Don't you you're a great imagist? Don't you think in visuals?" No, no. I think words, and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to come up with a slogan words that's catchy, that somehow nails the big idea I'm going after.
Right.
And I'll only go with that line if I can marry it with some kind of visual imagery.
Sure.
So that the visual imagery, so there's a visual imagery, a mnemonic, and there's a word mnemonic, you know, like, you know, Mick Jagger picking up the phone and saying, I want my MTV. So it's the action of picking up the phone, you know what I mean?
Right,
and,
right.
And that's what I
that's
look for.
The brain.
That's what everybody should be looking for. People who been advertising pros all their lives, when they hear me say that, it's the first time they heard it. They go, "Oh, that's interesting."
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I talked to people who were who worked for 30 years, and they say, "Oh, that's an interesting approach."
But that was also the model when you were growing up creatively, right? It was copy, and then they go into the art director's office, and here you go, make pictures.
Sure. I mean, Burnback.
You were the
Burnback
revolution.
Burnback had the epiphany. You know, when he was a young man, to work with Paul Rand, who was a great imagist and a great art director, a great designer. I'm talking about the 40s and 50s. And he didn't work with writers. He wrote his own copy and he did his own things. And he did great ads for Orbach's, et cetera, et cetera. And Burnback was lucky enough to go to an ad agency as the copy chief, I think.
Okay.
And work with Burnback and work with Rand. Try to work with Rand. He was a cantankerous son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He was beautiful. You know, and he walked. You know, I mean, he was just doing my mother's
country.
And he didn't take any ship from anybody, and that's how he got away with doing the work he did. You know,
yeah.
So somehow Burnback had the epiphany, said, "Oh my God, if you work with a graphic designer who understands advertising, you can do better work." You know, duh.
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, he understood that and started Doyle Dane Burnback based on that concept. So the only ad agency in the world that worked that way for 9 years or more was Doyle Dane Burnback.
Agency.
Yeah, and everybody and they scared the hell out of everybody in the world because everybody in the world was a lousy agency compared to them.
Right.
You know, because how could they compete with a terrific art director like Bob Gage working with a terrific writer like Phyllis Robinson?
Sure.
And they did stuff that not only was written well, but put a terrific headline. But Bob Gage did, you know, was the first modern art director, big punchy stuff. So and that was it. They're the only creative agency in the world. Period. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, you could say other agencies, Ogilvy did good ads once in a while. Yeah, but they didn't understand. Ogilvy tried to hire me, for Christ's sake, out of Doyle Dane. I laughed in his face. I mean, I respectfully laughed in his face, you know. I said, Mr. Ogilvy, there's not a word in your book. You know, he wrote Confessions of a Day. There's not a word in your book I agree with. I mean, you got 6,000 rules against a guy like me. He said, "Well, yeah, I guess you're right."
So, for anybody that doesn't know, I mean, the creative revolution was the fact that they put art directors and copywriters in the same room.
Yeah,
that, you know, every other agency, you wrote the copy, you walked downstairs, you said the art director would make that. Make some pictures.
No, the writer, and maybe with the account guy, would come into the art director sitting there. He directed his finger in his nose, you know. They would come in, they would throw the copy on the art director's desk and say, make a layout.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what art direction was before Doyle Dane Burnback, right?
So did you, when you came into DDB, did they put you in a room with a copywriter,
Before I went to Doyle Dane, when I worked at CBS and then I worked at Sterling Hennessy, I worked I was the consumer art director at Herb LeBalance Agency, a great agency. There were writers there, but I didn't want to work with them.
I just didn't
want to work with them, you know? I mean,
I had nothing against.
Yeah, I mean,
you got the words, you got the
I got to figure it out, you know? I really,
you are the creative.
Confuse me. Because usually, if you work with a really, really good writer, in most cases, they'll come up with maybe some terrific lines, and you then have to explain to them, I don't want to use it because I can't marry it with any visual. So
right.
So it's not half bad, but it's not right
go
yet.
Go back and try again.
You know what I mean? It would be a pain in the ass. But at Doyle Dane Burnback, first day I was at Doyle Dane, I get there, I'm there early in the morning. I had come that weekend, a couple of days, on a Saturday or Sunday, I guess, the day before. And I brought in paint. I painted the room they gave me.
It was probably white when you showed up, right?
Yeah. I painted the room, and I bought my own furniture. And there was a requisition on the table on Sunday that I was supposed to see Monday morning on something I was supposed to work with and the writer I was supposed to work with. And I took it home. I thought about it. I came in early the next morning, 6:30 in the morning. This is my first day at Doyle Dane. And I immediately drew five ads. You know, it was for a carrot and earwax removal.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And one of the ads was I drew a gigantic ear and I put pencils and stuff in that ear, you know. And I did a package design, with an ear on both sides and the kids holding up the and I did. So Burnback comes into my room at 9 o'clock in the morning. To greet me. And he says, boy, they really fixed you up here. This room is beautiful. I said, yeah. And then look at the furniture they got you. Isn't that Mies van der Rohe, you know? I said, yeah, but I came in and painted the room and brought in my own furniture. How'd you get in the building?
I walked in.
I just walked in.
Oh, you look like
I look like a painter, you know. And then he looks at the floor, and then he sees on the floor there's all kinds of layouts, you know, tissue paper. And he said, What are these ads? I said, the campaign I'm working on, I worked on for Kerrod, it's an earwax remover. And he said, I know what Kerrod is. I got the account, you know what I mean? I said, right. And he looks at the ear and he went, what is it? This is remarkable. And look, and the headline, who's your writer? I said, there's no writer. I did it yesterday, and I brought it in. I did the ads this morning, actually. He said, I'll be your writer, he said to me.
Really?
He did. Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And I never took him up with it because I didn't want to be the teacher's pet.
Piss him off.
I didn't want to be the teacher's pet.
But
the
point is, get along with your copywriters.
No, I don't get along with copywriters who are constipated. You know, and a lot of them there were.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, some of them were terrific, but a lot of them came in and, I said, instead of doing this, I wanted to do, instead of doing a full page ad, I wanted to do like 30 small pages and put it, you know, no, you don't understand, George. What don't I understand? At Doyle Dane Burnback, we don't do small ads. You know, people like that, I say, get the fuck out of my room, you know.
Yeah, we go through that in our agency at Big Buzz. We, you know, programmers are in a department and creatives in a department, and then we have the social and the online, and we're actually
everybody got the rules and regulations, and you know, sitting together,
more ideas come.
But again, that's back to talking going. About words. I mean, I'm word driven. You know,
right,
I mean,
I'm as an art director.
I'm as an art director. You know, I mean, people look at my Esquire cover and say, "Well, you didn't do words." And I said, "Well, I do once in a while, but I mean." I mean, I ain't looking to knock people out with words on a cover. I'm looking for people to glance and see Muhammad Ali with Saint Sebastian. You know, then I write the Passion of Muhammad Ali. Just a little line. But you know, once in a while, I did a cover. You know, that said on the story cover that said, "Oh my God, we hit a little girl," which is an anti-war cover. You know, which. But no, I think words all the time. You tell young kids that in schools. You know what I mean? And they're not told that. You know, I'm giving young people, especially people in advertising or designers, such advice. I mean, they say to me, "Well, after I do a lecture, like I gave three lectures last week, you know, at Pratt, CCNY, and SVA, and they say, "Well, do you have any advice for
young and creative?"
And I say, "Read the motherfucking book." I mean, it's 120 goddamn things.
That's what I'm going to say, you know? It's formatted.
I busted my ass to make it concise and sharp.
Lesson one, lesson two, lesson 150, you know, whatever you had, 120.
And you can't pick and choose the lessons that they're going to... One kid said the other day, said, gee, I love the war, I love them all. But you know that number, whatever it was, where you say... never work for bad people. I say, yeah. Well, I don't think that's advice you should be giving to people or to ad agencies, because, you know, if you're stuck and you have to work with some bad people, and maybe they're for bad clients, and if you fire them, if you get rid of them, people lose their jobs. Mm. I said, well, that's why agencies suck, and that's why art directors who want to be great will never be great.
Because you
work for people who force you to do bad work. So that's strike one, strike two, and strike three. Don't you understand?
Right.
Well, I just talked to you about 20 minutes. I talked about courage. Part of courage is that you throw a goddamn client out if it doesn't work, and you get the hell out of a place if the people there are forcing you to do bad work. I mean, what do you do? I said you try to find another motherfucking job.
That's right.
I mean, I can't. You know, this isn't easy. I go.
And that's not rocket science.
It's not easy. I mean, the minute you give in, you know, I mean, if when Birnbach had his agency, if he gave in and some clients were there trying to force people to do bad work, he would have thrown them out.
Mm.
I'm sure he did.
He wouldn't let
an art director team, an art directing copy team work and have their work beaten to shit, you know, and feel that he had a great agency, you know.
Most great creative shops have a story or two about firing a client.
Yeah, people say, "Oh, to the lowest was really tough on so many clients." Yeah, no shit.
That's it for part two with the legendary George Lois. Tune in next week for part three.
He said, no, they don't want to pull. They won't pull a commercial. So I got on the phone. I said, hey Dan, you don't understand. The president's been shot. He said, "Shit, I know that. We're having a party down here."
Wow.
And I said, "Well, we're pulling the commercials, and you can go fuck yourself."
Next week on the Buzz Bubble.